to the first chapter, and we're going to select one of the verses from the prologue. The prologue, as you know, to the gospel are the first 18 verses of this first chapter. So let's read from verse 14 to verse 18. And the verse that we'll be focusing on is verse 17. So, John's Gospel then, and the first chapter. And let's turn to verses 14 to 18. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So this morning then, we began a new series. We began thinking together about grace. And as you look at these verses, can you see how often grace is mentioned? So take verse 14, first of all. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. And then finally, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I seem to be saying all the time these days that you look out for repetition. And I'm sure most of us now are getting that message, that if something is repeated, then that's the theme. That's what the writer wants us to pay attention to. So from verse 14 to verse 18, John is repeating the word grace. And he wants us to be very clear about what grace is. So this morning we thought about grace as a relationship between God and the Christian. In these verses, we have grace presented to us as a person. And in these verses, what we'll see is the person is Christ. And to make it clear, Christ is contrasted to Moses. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Well, let's pray together then, shall we, to ask God to speak to us. Lord our God, we do thank you that we can meet again this evening. And we thank you, our God, that we can once again take up this message of grace. And Lord our God, we thank you that as we come together as a worshipping congregation, there is something about meeting together that cannot be captured by listening to a sermon online. Lord, there is a whole dimension of spiritual mystery present here when we meet in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we ask your blessing upon us, and we ask you to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want us to do, to try and grasp the idea of these verses, is to begin with to go through them one by one. So here's the main idea then. John is telling us that grace The grace of God is a person. He doesn't want you to think of grace as like a cloud, something that floats in the air. He doesn't want us to think of grace as something that is a little bit mysterious and a little bit spiritual. John wants to show us that grace is real, grace is concrete, and grace is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. So first of all, look at verse 14. So up to verse 14, he's been telling us about the Word, the Son of God, the eternal God, the one who is equal to God, the one who is face to face with God. So John has been using this very high and very theological language, telling us about the Word. And then in verse 14, look at what he says. The Word became flesh. This Son of God became real. You could touch him. The Son of God took our nature, and you could see him. The Son of God became real, like you and me, as real as you and I, walking, eating, sleeping. And as you look at verse 14, do you see the word dwelt? That word means tabernacled. So here you and I are meeting in the tabernacle. And the idea is the Word of God tabernacled amongst us, became real among us. Now, all of these verses, in one way or another, link back to Moses. And so here's another link to the tabernacle in the days of Moses. So the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We could see his glory. So he's the Son of God. He's not hiding the fact that he's the Son of God. He's not less than the Son of God. He remains the glorious Son of God, but we can see him. He's made flesh. He's made real. And then look at what John says at the end of verse 14. Full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. What John is saying is the Son of God made grace real. The Son of God put grace into the visible. The Son of God made grace real flesh and blood. Just like you and I are flesh and blood, the Son of God turned the grace of God into flesh and blood. Grace and truth. So grace is a real person, a flesh and blood person, the person who is the Son of God living among us. And the word full is a very important word. It's a divine word, if you like. So the fullness of the grace of God was made flesh and blood in the person of Jesus Christ. So grace is a person. And as we go down to verse 17, what John does is he pairs Jesus Christ with Moses. So verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This is the first mention by John of the name Jesus Christ. Up until verse 14, he's been verse 17, he's been talking about the Word. And then he tells us the name of the Word made flesh, made real. The name of the one who is the grace of God made real. And that one is Jesus Christ. And what we'll do tonight, we'll see this difference between Jesus Christ and Moses. But I want to start with another word there in verse 17. Can you see a word that's repeated? Now again, we've already said any repetition is important and it demands our attention. So what's the word in verse 17? For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The repeated word there is the word through. And there's something wonderful here. And as always, I hope to be able to make it clear so that you see it as wonderful as I do. Jesus is paired with Moses. And this word through, it tells us that God deals with humanity either through Moses or God deals with us through Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. So let's take a minute then to appreciate what this means. God does not deal with us directly. There's a word that I'm going to use. I don't want to use it because I don't want any of us to not understand. But it's a word used in the Bible. It's the word mediator, a go-between. So God always has a go-between, between him as God and men and women. And there are only two go-betweens. In the whole history of humanity, there is either Moses or there is Jesus Christ. These are the two human beings, if I can say that, through whom God communicates, speaks, deals with men and women. So either through Moses or through Jesus Christ. That's the only options. Now just take a moment to see how, what's the word here? How careful you need to be today. God does not speak through Muhammad. God does not speak to us through the Pope or any religious individual. The whole of God's dealings throughout all the ages are either through Moses or through Jesus Christ. And human beings everywhere are either under Moses or they are under Jesus Christ. Those are the only options that the New Testament recognizes. Now, I wonder if I can bring this point out a bit further. The New Testament likes to pair Jesus with another person. So here it's Moses. And if you were to read Romans, can you see who Jesus is paired with in that letter? Chapter 5 through to chapter 8, Jesus is paired with Adam. Now, the idea of Adam and Jesus is bottom up. Humanity appears before God either in Adam or in Christ. So the whole of human history is represented before God either through the person of Adam or through the person of Jesus Christ. So that's humanity, bottom up to God. Now here in Rome, in John 1, it's top down. God either deals with us through Moses, or he deals with us through Jesus Christ. There is no other option in the pages of the New Testament. So let's take a look then, first of all, at Moses. Verse 70. For the law was given through Moses. Now, you must hold on to the idea that God was dealing through Moses with the nation of Israel and with humanity as a whole. So, do you remember when we read from Exodus 20? You had that verse which spoke about flashes of light and thunders and smoke arising from the mountain and great terror and the people filled with horror. Now, that's a description of the character of God. God's nature being revealed through Moses. So I want you to imagine you were there. You were at Mount Sinai all those years ago. And you were standing at the base of the mountain. And you were looking up and you could see the top of Sinai. And it was covered in cloud. And the cloud was ripped apart by lightning. And there was a blast of a trumpet. Now that, all that you could see there, is a revelation to you about the nature of God. God is terrifying. God is awesome. God is holy. God is just. God is this God of fear and trembling. The God that you would shrink away from. The God that you would have nightmares about. This is the God who speaks through Moses. And God shows men and women what he wants from them as the God of thunder and fire and smoke and trumpet. That God gives his message through Moses. And his message is, do this and you will live. And by this, we have the law. So come back to verse 17. The law was given through Moses. So the law is an expression of the terror of God. The law is an expression of the justice and the majesty and the awe of God. The law is an expression of the demands and the requirements of such a God. The law is an expression of what such a God wants from us if we are to live. The law comes through. Moses is simply the spokesman, the mouthpiece of such a God. Now, let me remind you. Men and women are either through Moses or through Jesus Christ. And so the whole of humanity either lies under Moses or under Jesus Christ. So if you're not in Christ, the only option for you is Moses. The only option is to be obedient to this law, or you face the God of thunder, lightning, trumpet blast, shaking the mountains, filling you with terror. That's the God you have to do with if you are not in Jesus Christ. Now, do you remember this morning when I introduced you to the idea of grace? One of the reasons I said we'd study this together is because grace has enemies. One of the enemies is the law, what we have here in verse 17. And one of the dangers every Christian faces is falling back under the law. Trying again to do the law. And let me say to you as your minister, some of you are often in your thinking, slipping back under the law. And it's a great danger. It's a danger to grace. Because if you slip back under the law, the God that you are now dealing with is the God of thunder, and the God of cloud, and the God of smoke, and the God of the trumpet blast. That's the God whom you are dealing with if you fall back under the law. Now, you know, don't you, that Paul has to fight hard in his letters to the churches to show the danger of falling back under the law. That if we fall back under this law, then this is the God that we are dealing with. We cannot keep a God of grace and then think we can fall back under the law. It's an impossibility. So if you're still with me, will you turn to Galatians? And I want you to look at chapter 3 to see how Paul fights this battle to keep Christians under grace and not under the law. So we're in Galatians then, and we'll see more of this in the weeks to come. Let's start from verse 19. What purpose does the law serve? Now, if there was ever a big question that's been asked in 2,000 years of church history, that's the question. Have you ever visited a church building? I was talking to one of you this morning at the door, and you were telling me how you'd been visiting cathedrals and different churches. Now, have you ever been into a church and you've seen on the wall a list of the Ten Commandments? If you ever have, then you are seeing something that is quite regretful. What purpose does the law serve for the New Testament church? Look at what Paul says. It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, that's really what we've said. We've used the word mediator. So Moses was the mediator. Through his hand, the law came through angels and clouds of smoke and blasts of trumpet. And it was added because of sin until the seed, Jesus Christ, until he should come. So keep going in Galatians 3. There's a bit about a mediator, verse 20. Verse 21, is the law then against the promises? I want you to see verse 24. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. That's the purpose of the law. The law was not designed to be kept, because keeping the law is an impossibility. The law was given to show we cannot do it because of sin. And then seeing what you cannot do, you look for an alternative. Is there any hope? We cannot keep the law. Does that mean we are lost? or is there someone else? And the someone else is Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the law. Well, let's not run ahead of ourselves too much. Go back to John and chapter 1, if you will, then. So what I'm hoping you're seeing is grace is a real person, flesh and blood, living among us. And this person is Jesus Christ. God either speaks to us through Jesus Christ, or he speaks through Moses. The God who speaks through Moses is fire and noise and terror. That's the God who speaks through Moses, giving the law to show his demands. But Jesus Christ is the grace of God made flesh. Now, if you look at verse 18, some of you will know that verse 18 is amongst the most beautiful verses in the whole of the Bible. No one has seen God at any time. Do you remember what I said a moment ago? God does not deal with us directly. God always deals through a mediator. So we cannot see God directly. God is so mysterious and transcendent and infinite and eternal. We cannot see him directly. So either Moses shows us God, or Jesus shows us God. So again, just to make it clear, if you look at Moses, if you look at the law, what God do you see? What God presents to you through the law? It's the God of thunder and terror and shaking and noise. That's the God you see through Moses. Look at verse 18. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Quite simply, when you look at Jesus, what God do you see? And verse 18 is telling you, in Christ, you see the heart of God. When it says in verse 18, who is in the bosom of the Father, I don't know why we've got the word bosom, because it's the word heart. The heart of God. The heart of love and mercy, the heart of compassion, that heart, God's own heart, is what we see when we look at Jesus Christ. He shows us. And in fact, verse 18 goes further. It doesn't just mean that he shows us. Can you imagine this thought? Jesus Christ is the very heart of God made flesh. If you could take your emotions, if you could take your love and turn that into a living, flesh and blood human being, that's what you have in Jesus Christ. He is the very love of God turned into a human being to show you the love of God. So God deals with us through Jesus Christ, this real person who is God's own heart, with flesh and blood put before us. And what verse 17 tells us is this real person, Jesus Christ, a person who grew and ate and drank and slept. This real person, the heart of God in flesh and blood, is full of grace and truth. So, just to end tonight, full, do you remember? It's a very important word. It's a theological term. It means the perfections of God. Jesus Christ is the perfect expression of the heart of God. And when John writes full of grace and truth, Jesus Christ is the only truth about God. There is no truth about God outside of Jesus Christ. There is no truth about God outside of Christ, and that includes truth about us, truth about the way to God. It's all found in this flesh and blood person, Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is also the grace of God. All that God has to give is given in his Son, Jesus Christ. So let's finish like this. Each one of us then, every human being alive, every human being who has ever lived will either come to God through Moses and meet a God of judgment, condemnation, terror, law, justice, punishment. That's the God that men and women will face. The God who men and women have to deal with if they're in Moses. Not just Jews now. Every person who is not in Christ is in Moses. That's the only choice. But every person who is in Christ, who comes to God in the name of Jesus Christ, finds a God who opens his heart, a God who wears his heart on the face of his Son, Jesus Christ. And in his Son, Jesus Christ, you will find all the truth and you will find all the grace that God has to give.